Okay, we have got you covered in college football, and one of the big games we are keeping our eye on is TCU Oklahoma as the Frogs travel to Norman for a Saturday night matchup with the 11th-ranked Sooners. Kickoff set for 6 o'clock Central Time. TCU right now, their record is 2-2. They are 0-1 in Big 12 conference play, and certain that this is one of those games that is a tremendous opportunity for the Frogs to make a statement nationally, especially since the Sooners are rolling right now. They're coming off that big win against Notre Dame. It is a true pleasure to welcome in the voice of the Frogs, Brian Estridge. Welcome aboard, Brian. It's good to have you with us.
You know what? It is always a pleasure. I think that's a great word that you use to describe this game. I do think it's an opportunity, and it's funny because the TCU players have talked about this being essentially a second season for them, a new beginning, because now you get into seven straight games of Big 12 conference play, not in and out of league as they were, not playing on Thursday nights and things. So, yeah, opportunity is a great word to describe this one, I believe.
Brian, give us a sense what you're learning about this team and what is the identity. Kind of reflect on where you guys are at this up to this point.
I think that is still in progress, the identity of this team, on both ends of the on both sides of the ball. I think that's what Gary Patterson has talked about with his offense. What is our identity? What are we going to be known for? What are we going to be good at? I think, you know, much like every Gary Patterson team, this is a team that's going to be based on their defense. I mean, their defense is always going to be solid. It's going to allow them opportunities by creating turnovers, and I think this year is no different. I just think it's a young group offensively that's got to kind of find its way. You know, are they going to utilize the legs of Trevon Boykin, who now starts at quarterback? You know, do they still want to try to implement this spread passing attack that was going to be successful under Casey Paja and benefit from a terrific group of wide receivers? But I think they're still kind of finding their way. And I think last week against SMU in the second half, at least they started to get a bit of their swagger back.
Well, and I was going to say that they really did respond, especially in the third, what they scored 10 points and 31 points in the fourth quarter. You guys are a dangerous team in the Big 12 Conference. You can't be overlooked.
No, I think you're right, and I think that applies to virtually everyone in this league, to be honest with you. I think it's just going to be one of those years in the Big 12 where anyone can win it. Any given Saturday, any given stadium, you know, can house an upset. And I think TCU in that second half, I think one of the good things for them was they were able to create some turnovers with the defense and capitalize on them and turn them into points. And then to get the special teams involved with a score as well. I think all those sorts of things take some of the pressure off this offense and in turn gives it confidence. And I think that's what this group needs right now.
Well, Brian, you're exactly right. They forced 5 turnovers. They came out in that second half playing with a lot more emotion. Have the Frogs struggled with slow starts this year?
Yeah, and you know, that's a hard thing to put your finger on. What causes that? It has been slow starts to this group. And, you know, Gary and I talked about it earlier in the week because he had a team that struggled with that a couple of years ago. And how do you get them out of that? And I think you're seeing them in practice, you know, try to create a sense of urgency. You know, you may see them not defer as they often do if winning the toss, get the offense out on the field quickly. I think the play calling has a lot to do with that as well. Maybe taking a few opportunistic strikes downfield early on in games. I think anything like that to sort of build their confidence, boost their enthusiasm early in the game, I think is what he's looking for.
Brian, what is the personality of this team? Because every team you're coaching is different. I mean, has Gary talked to you about that? Because obviously he really lit into them at halftime. They responded in a big way.
Yeah, I think it's a group that's a real laid-back group.
Okay.
You know, you've had emotional teams, you've had emotional groups before, and I think this is a group that's just sort of laid back. And, you know, you've got guys like Jason Verrett, an All-American at corner, who doesn't really want to be a vocal leader, but Gary Patterson's forced him into that role. Sam Carter on defense, you know, is a former quarterback who is much more of a lead-by-example guy, but he's forced him into that role. And then offensively now, with the absence of Casey Paja, you know, others have had to step up, and that's come from different sources. You know, James Dunbar along the offensive line has done that. But I think the good news was, and you're going to see this on the road as well when Casey Paja traveling with his team, you know, in the second half against SMU, you saw Casey up and down the sidelines talking to this group, even though he's not in uniform. And
yeah,
that could do nothing but help.
You're listening to the voice of Brian Estridge. He is in his 11th season. Is that right? Your 11th season as the voice
I think it's longer than that, but I'm not counting.
Well, talk to me about this as far as length. 16 days off between games as you guys headed into that SMU game. How much did that affect the rhythm of the Frogs, especially offensively? Because that affects your timing, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know what it does, but the good news was the team did offensively they were struggling with that to begin with. So I think the 16 days off has actually allowed them to get back in rhythm. There was so much emotion part of those first three games, so much emotion going into LSU to start the year, so much emotion at Texas Tech on a Thursday night to open Big 12 play, that I think this young football team expended a lot of energy. And because of that, I think it was a tired group. And I know you're saying, wait a minute, come on now. They're only three games into the season. Not going to be tired. But they had extended practices as far as the two-a-day schedule was concerned this year. They had 30-something practices before the season started. Then an emotional game to start with LSU, and as we mentioned, that Texas Tech game. I think all those things really wore this group out. And I think that 16-day break was actually good for them, allowed them to get their legs back. And I think we saw that in the second half. This is a group now finally playing with a little bit of energy.
Brian, I think from watching the game that it was very beneficial that TCU, as you've talked about, you've highlighted, they've had their share of injuries. That gives guys an opportunity to heal up. But during that time, during that stretch, you know, position battles, those are opportunities where those guys can really get after it.
Yeah, and that's true. I think he opened up a lot of positions, and I think he opened up some battles for starting jobs. And, I think you saw a lot of changes. You know, you look in that second half of guys who were making plays. Ty Slanina is a freshman at wide receiver. Juwan Story is a transfer from Florida whose first catch goes for a touchdown. I mean, you had young guys, Devin Johnson in special teams making plays. And so I think you're right. I think he did open it up and create some opportunities for guys with competition. And I think that could be nothing but good for this team. I think, when you have an opportunity like that, you really got to take advantage of it with a break like they had. And they were able to work on their number twos and get those guys ready to play a little bit more. And I think it's going to pay off in the end.
We are talking Big 12 football right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, going one-on-one with Brian Estridge, the voice of the Frogs. And I want to get your insight on the reigning Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year in Devontae Fields. He hurt his foot against Texas Tech. He was out against SMU. What is his status?
Listen, I think it's going to be day-to-day. I'll be honest with you. I'm not so sure he plays against Oklahoma. I'm not so sure if he plays next week against Kansas. I think they'd love to be able to get him in one of these two games, but you hope it's not a lingering. Anytime you injure a foot, and we don't have specifics on what it is, but we've seen it too many times, a foot injury like that can last for a while. But you think about what this team is going without, and without Devontae Fields yet still leading the league in sacks. Without Stansley Maponga, who left early to go to the NFL, who was a defensive end last year, who led this team, yet still leading the league in sacks. Without Josh Boyce, a wide receiver, who left early to go to the NFL. Without an injured Casey Paw-Haw. Without several guys who, through attrition, have left this program before graduation. You're talking, really, when you start to break it down, there are 10 or 11 guys that you would have been counting on as starters in their senior year who are not part of this team. So that's something this Frog group has had to overcome, and that's why you're seeing so many young guys play.
Can you give us an update on Casey Paw-Haw? I mean, injured his arm in, the second quarter against Southeast Louisiana. How's he doing?
Right. And they're saying it's a 6 to 8 week deal, and I think it's one of those cases where, and the way Gary's put it, I think is interesting, in that there's going to be a point where they say, okay, you can play here. Your risk of injury, re-injuring it is at 60%. And if you wait till this week, your risk of injuries re-entering it's at 40%. And if you wait until here, that risk is down to 20%. And as he said, that's a decision that I can't make. That's a decision that Casey Paw-Haw has to make, and he and his family for himself, a guy who's got potential and ability to play at the next level. Are you willing to put yourself at risk in those last three or four games and potentially put your NFL career at risk? He said, not a decision I'm going to make. We're going to leave that up to Casey and his parents.
Well, the young man that obviously has stepped up is Trevon Boykin, played the final nine games in 2012, but he continues to prove he's a great running quarterback, a very dynamic player, and a tremendous asset for the Frogs.
Yeah, and a guy who I think this team really rallies around, too. I think they love playing for him. I think the fact that he gives them so many opportunities, when he can bail himself out with his feet, I think the offensive line likes that. I know this group loves playing for him when you see the enthusiasm and practice and on the sidelines for games. So, yeah, I think he's a natural leader when you visit with him. He's a kind-hearted, gentle kind of guy. But I think when he gets on the field, he's a competitor and he wants to win. And I think he wants to be known as more than just a running quarterback. I think he feels like he's got all the tools to be everything that he needs to be as a starter in college football, and I think he's out to prove that.
Yeah, he's definitely doing a better job of distributing the ball. Well, let's get everyone set and ready for OU TCU in the sense that give us what are the biggest concerns against Oklahoma? They looked very solid against Notre Dame and in South Bend.
Yeah, there's no question. I think there are two things, and we'll start on the offensive side. I think first off, Gary Patterson says this is like an Oklahoma team of old in that they're physical up front. They're huge. Their offensive line can move people around. They can be so diverse with their offense because of that group. They can just line up and grind it out on you in the run game. But they also protect well when Oklahoma has to throw the football with dangerous wide receivers. So I think on the offensive line, somehow they've got to, TCU has to control the line of scrimmage. Their defensive line has to get penetration. Somehow they've got to get to the quarterback when he does throw the football, and they've got to be able to stop the run against this big offensive line. I think defensively, it goes back to the same thing that he said about the offense. He said, hey, this is a Bob Stoops defense, an aggressive playmaking defense that can create takeaways, that are big physical hitters. It's got to be a case where TCU is going to see a lot of man-to-man coverage in the passing game, and these receivers have to go up and make plays. You know, they've got to be the aggressor, if you will, on offense, and when they are in man coverage, just to go out and try to take it away from them. So I think handling the pressure that Oklahoma is going to bring defensively and making plays when they do get man coverage is an important side of the thing on offense.
And it's going to be important for the Frogs. You got to get into the head of Blake Bell early. I mean, he has been just terrific this year. You know,
he really has. And the other thing with this game too, and you touched on it earlier, listen, you can't start slow. Last time TCU was at Oklahoma, they came out of the block real slow and they were out of the game early. And I think you've got to see a defense that holds them or creates a turnover early. And I think you've got to see an offense that scores early if TCU's going to be successful.
Okay, so is Coach Patterson, is he getting these guys ready in terms of, you know, 80,000 fans on hand? That place is crazy up in Norman. We've spent time up there.
Yeah, and I think he prepares for it in a way that most guys do. You know, they'll pipe in crowd music during practice all week this week. They've been able to play in a loud game already at LSU. It's a team that uses so much as far as silent counts and things like that, hand signals that other teams are utilizing, of course. It shouldn't be an issue, but anytime you go into that setting, you know, a hostile environment like that, it can be difficult. I think he's done all he can to prepare him for it.
Well, Brian, I know you claim a long memory, and of course in 2005, the Frogs found success in Norman, and that was back in the day when the Sooners had Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, it was. It was a great defensive effort, and Ty Gunn, quarterback, led that team to the victory. But, you know, we also remember what happened the next week when TCU goes to SMU and loses.
Ouch, yeah.
It can be one of those that's the good and the evil of what happened in that Oklahoma game. But I think, you know, with the exception of the last trip to Norman, these two teams have played each other very tight. Last year it came down to the final throw by Trevon Boykin to hold off TCU for Oklahoma to gain part of that Big 12 championship, and I would expect it to be close again this year.
Well, it certainly was a major milestone for Gary Patterson and for his program, and they have come a long, long way. It is a pleasure to have you on, and Brian, tell all the listeners where they can go and check out all your work online.
You know, of course, Alyssa, we'd love for folks to go to GoFrogs.com and give us a listen. You can also hit me up on Twitter at Brian Estridge. We're always talking TCU football.
Very good. I'm a follower. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
That's been Brian Estridge right here on Yahoo Sports Radio. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.